Chapter 3, Troop Leading Procedures. The platoon leader is responsible for everything the platoon does or fails to do. With the platoon sergeant, the platoon leader uses a variety of techniques to plan and prepare a platoon's mission. The planning process is often more important than the final plan itself, as it provides platoon leaders with a greater understanding of the enemy environment and assigned task, increasing their tactical flexibility when the situation unexpectedly changes or when opportunities arise. TLP provide platoon leaders a framework for planning and preparing for missions. Smaller units, company and below, lack formal staffs and use TLP to plan and prepare for operations. At the platoon level, this places primary responsibility for planning on the platoon leader. Section 1, Planning Considerations. A logistics platoon predominantly operates as part of a larger organization, whether it be a company team, battalion/squadron, or higher. Therefore, the planning the platoon leader executes is in conjunction with the next higher echelon to ensure proper alignment of task and purpose. Failure to do so results in the wasted expense of an already limited resource, time. Platoon leaders can follow, though to a lesser degree, the same sequence their company or battalion/squadron commander does when executing the operations process: planning, preparation, execution, and assessment. Planning. Planning is the art and science of understanding a situation, envisioning a desired future, and laying out effective ways of bringing that future about. ADP 50. A platoon leader receives a task and purpose from the company commander as a warning order, warnord, or operation order, opord, and begins the planning process. Planning is an ongoing process and continues as necessary during preparation and execution. Parallel planning occurs when the platoon leader and company commander plan for the same mission at about the same time. At the platoon level, planning focuses on fully developing the platoon's role in the company commander's directed course of action, COA, and rehearsing for likely contingencies that may cause the COA to develop in unexpected ways. Brigades and/or battalions frequently have tactical standard operations procedures, often referred to as a TACSOP, that platoon leaders must be familiar with. Preparation. Preparation includes activities performed by the platoon to improve its ability to execute the assigned task. Preparation includes, but is not limited to, plan refinement, rehearsals, see Section 3 for more information, coordination, checks and inspections, and movement. Detailed and customized platoon SOPs consider the specific personnel and equipment in the platoon. When consistently executed and continually updated after each mission, the SOP can increase the platoon leader's time available to plan and prepare for a particular assigned task. The most effective SOPs are ones developed with input from all leaders in the platoon. Execution. Execution is putting a plan into action by applying combat power to accomplish the mission. ADP 50. The platoon leader uses situational understanding to assess progress and make execution and adjustment decisions during the process. Assessment. Assessment refers to the continuous monitoring and evaluation of the current situation, particularly the enemy, along with the progress of the assigned task or tasks. Assessment entails these tasks: assess the platoon readiness and capacity of support capability. Immediately report aspects that affect mission accomplishment. Continuously assessing the enemy's reactions and vulnerabilities, which may lead to windows of opportunity to exercise disciplined initiative. Continuously monitoring the situation and progress of the operation towards the company commander's desired end state. Section 2, Troop Leading Procedures. The platoon leader uses TLP to solve tactical problems and uses the platoon sergeant and squad/section leaders to help with the process. The type, amount, and timeliness of information passed from higher to lower directly impacts the platoon leader's TLP. TLP include 8 steps. Receive the mission/begin planning. Issue the warnord. Make a tentative plan. Initiate movement/arrange reconnaissance. Conduct reconnaissance / make reconnaissance. Complete the plan. Issue the op ord. Supervise and refine / supervise. Note, Chapter 10 in FM60 contains a more in-depth discussion of each step of TLP. Executing troop leading procedures. TLP provide a framework for planning and preparing for a mission, beginning when the platoon leader receives the first indication of an upcoming mission and continues throughout the operations process. As each subsequent order arrives, they modify the assessments, update tentative plans, and continue to supervise and assess preparations. Normally, the first three steps, receive the mission, issue a warn ord, and make a tentative plan, of TLP occur in order. However, the sequence of subsequent steps is based on the situation. Initiate movement and conduct reconnaissance may occur several times and sometimes simultaneously. The last step, supervise and refine, occurs throughout. Subordinates require sufficient information to plan and prepare for their mission. In other cases, TLP start before receiving a company warn ord based on existing plans, orders, concepts of support, and on the subordinate leader's understanding of the situation. Step 1. Receive the mission. The platoon leader receives the platoon's mission through a written or verbal warn ord, op ord, or fragmentary order, frag ord, assesses the time available to accomplish the mission, and conducts a cursory analysis of the assigned task or tasks using METTC. A more detailed METTC analysis comes after issue of the platoon warn ord, Step 2. In addition to receiving or deducing the mission during this step, platoon leaders also determine the entire time available to plan, prepare, and execute the mission. Determine the 1/3, 2/3 timeline for leader planning and subordinate preparation, respectively. Prepare an initial planning timeline using backwards planning. Backwards planning starts at the end state and then logically works the steps backwards to the current point. Step 2. Issue the warning order. The platoon warn ord is a preliminary notice of an order or action to follow issued as close to receipt of the company warn ord as possible. Less detailed than a complete op ord, a warn ord aids in parallel planning. After platoon leaders receive the new or updated mission and assess the time available for planning, preparing, and executing the mission, they immediately issue a warn ord to the platoon. In the initial platoon warn ord, the platoon leader includes the same elements given in the company commander's initial warn ord, but platoon-focused. If practical, platoon leaders brief subordinate leaders face-to-face using a rough terrain model, sketch, or map. The warn ord has no specified format, though it may follow the 5-paragraph op ord format and include the following items. Enemy situation as currently known. Company mission or nature of the operation. Commander's intent if available. Initial operational timeline. Platoon mission, may modify after step 3. Updated graphics, analog and digital. Reconnaissance to initiate if any. Movement to initiate if any. Earliest time of movement. Planning and preparation instructions to include planning timeline. Information requirements. Commander's critical information requirements. Changes to task organization if any. Use of specialized equipment, if any. Attachment of enablers, if any. Recommended ammunition loadout. Key events to rehearse and timeline to rehearse those events. Readiness condition, known as REDCON, and vehicle preparation schedule. Personal protective equipment modifications. Time and place for issuing the op ord. An essential element of the warn ord is the initial planning timeline, including instructions or information that will help subordinates prepare for the upcoming mission. Issuing the initial warn ord as quickly as possible enables subordinates to maximize their own planning and preparation time, parallel planning, while the platoon leader begins to develop the op ord. Upon receipt of more information, the platoon leader issues updated warn ords if time is available, giving subordinates as much information as is available at the time. Otherwise, the platoon leader will wait to give the information until the op ord brief to the platoon. Note, the platoon leader may receive sketches from their company commander. The platoon leader will use sketches to make a tentative plan. Step 3. Make a tentative plan. Platoon leaders begin to develop a tentative plan after issuing the platoon warn ord. they need not wait for a complete company upboard before starting to develop a tentative plan. Mission analysis. Mission analysis helps answer the following questions for the platoon leader. What is the current situation? What is my mission? How can we best accomplish the mission? What are my available assets, personnel, and equipment? What are the possible risks? The platoon leader begins mission analysis immediately upon receipt of the mission from the company commander. During mission analysis, the platoon leader restates the given mission, conducts an initial risk assessment. Though mission analysis is an ongoing process, the platoon leader adheres to the 1/3, 2/3 technique to give subordinates sufficient time to prepare at their level. 1/3, 2/3 technique is accomplished through parallel planning, for example, for a convoy mission having the NCOs preparing the soldiers and vehicles while the platoon leader is working final route and security. 1/3 of the time available remains set aside for the platoon leader to prepare and issue an order, while the remaining 2/3 of the time is for squad and section leaders to disseminate the order to their squads and sections to prepare for the mission. The platoon leader conducts their own more in-depth mission analysis by evaluating the mission variables, METTC. Platoon leaders convey to their subordinates deductions from these variables and the effect they will have on the platoon's mission. A thorough mission analysis helps the platoon leader in recognizing and capitalizing on opportunities. Mission variables. Mission variables describe characteristics of the area of operations, AO, and their impacts to a mission. The mission variables are mission, enemy, terrain, troops and support available, time available, civil considerations. Analyzing METTC is a continuous process. During execution, continuous analyses of the mission variables facilitates the issuing of well-developed fragords. Platoon leaders assess if any new information presented during the planning process changes their mission and, if so, decide how to adjust the plan to meet these new situations. As METTC analysis does not need to occur in any particular order, how and when platoon leaders analyze the variables depends on when they receive information. It also depends on their experience and preferences. One technique is to parallel the TLP based on the products received from their company. Mission. The platoon leaders look to answer for themselves the question, "What have I been told to do and why?" Platoon leaders must understand the mission, intent, and operational concept one and two levels higher. Doing so makes it possible to exercise disciplined initiative and act within limited windows of opportunity. Platoon leaders use the following to gain this understanding. Battalion/squadron, two levels up, mission, intent, and concept. Company, one level up, mission, intent, and concept. Unit's purpose. Constraints. Specified, implied, and essential tasks. Restated mission. Battalion/squadron, two levels up, mission, intent, and concept. Regardless of echelon, leaders understand the concept of the operation two levels up, identifying the tasks and purposes and how their immediate higher headquarters contributes to the operation. At the platoon level, this is the battalion's or squadron's mission, intent, and concept. This information is found in paragraph 3 of the company op-board, or in paragraphs 2 and 3 in the battalion/squadron op-board. Company, one level up, mission, intent, and concept. Leaders understand their immediate headquarters concept of the operation, identifying their headquarters task and purpose as well as their own contributions to the mission. At the platoon level, the immediate headquarters concept of operations is the company commander's mission, intent, and concept. This information is found in paragraphs 2 and 3 of the company op-board. Leaders also identify the tasks, purposes, and dispositions for all adjacent sustainment elements under the company's control. Unit's purpose. The platoon leader locates the platoon's purpose in the concept of the operation in paragraph 3 of the company op-board. The platoon's purpose helps achieve the purpose of the immediate higher HQ. If platoon leaders are unclear of their purpose, they should ask the company commander for further explanation. Understanding the company commander's intent and purpose helps the platoon leader in executing the philosophy of mission command. In the presence of new information, the platoon leader knows the intent and purpose of the next higher headquarters and so can adjust as needed to meet them. The platoon leader must be able to answer the question, if all else fails around me, what must my platoon accomplish and why? Tasks. Platoon leaders identify and understand the tasks required to accomplish a given mission. The three types of tasks are specified, implied, essential. A specified task is a task specifically assigned to a unit by its higher headquarters, FM60. These types of tasks are found in paragraph 3 of the company op board, under tasks to subordinate units. An implied task is a task that must be performed to accomplish a specified task or mission, but is not stated in the higher headquarters order, FM60. Implied tasks come from a detailed analysis of the company op board, enemy situation and COA, terrain, and from knowledge of doctrine and history. The platoon leaders rely upon their experience and the experience of the leaders in the platoon to help with identifying the implied tasks. An essential task is a specified or implied task that must be executed to accomplish the mission, FM60. The platoon leaders make the decision on which task is essential or may be told directly by the company commander. The essential task, along with the platoon's purpose, is in the company op board. Paragraph 3's concept of operations if an implied task, or tasks to subordinate units if a specified task. Essential tasks build the mission statement. Note, some specified, implied, and essential tasks that directly affect the platoon may be written into an annex and not included in paragraph 3 of the company op board itself. Either the platoon leader or platoon sergeant should review, at a minimum, Annex C operations from the battalion/squadron op board if available and if time permits. Constraints. A constraint is a restriction placed on the command by a higher command. A constraint dictates an action or inaction, thus restricting the freedom of action of a subordinate commander, FM60. Constraints are primarily found in paragraph 3 of the company op board. Examples of constraints may be resource limitations, such as Class 3 or Class 5 transport capacity, or in the operational environment, such as the load capacity of a bridge the platoon must traverse. Overlay graphics, such as restricted fire lines or no fire areas, are also examples of constraints. Restated mission. The platoon leader concludes the mission analysis by restating the platoon mission. To do this, they answer the 5 W's. Who? The platoon. What? The platoon's essential task and type of operation. When? This is the time given in the company op board. Where? The objective or location stated in company op board. Why? The platoon's purpose taken from the company's concept of the operation. Note: Example Mission Statement, 1st Platoon, Alpha Company, 115th Brigade Support Battalion, conducts a resupply from Brigade Support Area to Logistics Release Point 3, not later than 12-1200 hours, June 2020, to link up with 17 Infantry and conduct replenishment operations. See ATP 4-90 for information on the Brigade Support Battalion. Visual Aids. Platoon leaders prepare or receive a graphic depiction of terrain to help explain their findings regarding the effects of terrain and weather on the mission. The graphic depiction of terrain can be a photograph, digital map, overlay for a map sheet, or a terrain model. In it, leaders show terrain mobility classifications, key terrain, intervisibility lines, known obstacles, avenues of approach, mobility corridors, main supply routes, MSRs, alternate supply routes, logistics release points, supply points, and maintenance collection points. Enemy. The second mission variable to consider is the enemy. Intelligence on enemy posture will come straight from the battalion and company orders. The platoon leader will put out the parts that affects the platoon mission. The battalion/squadron intelligence officer, S2, provides an analysis of the enemy with which the battalion/squadron or company anticipates contact. However, platoon leaders still need to know and understand the enemy's disposition, composition, strengths, doctrine, if known, equipment capabilities, vulnerabilities, and probable course of action. Additionally, the line between enemy combatants and civilian non-combatants is sometimes unclear, and therefore requires the leader to understand the laws of war, the rules of engagement, and the local situation. Analyzing the enemy answers the question, what is the enemy doing and why? The platoon leader also looks to answer, what is the composition and strength of the enemy force? What are the capabilities of their weapons, other systems? What is the location of current and intercepted enemy positions? What is the enemy's most probable course of action? Defend, reinforce, attack, withdraw, or delay? Assumptions. Platoon leaders continually improve their situational understanding of the enemy and update their enemy templates, analog and digital, as new information becomes available. Deviations or significant conclusions reached during enemy analysis that could positively or negatively affect the company's plan are brought to the company commander for awareness and acted upon if necessary. How the enemy will fight. The platoon leader should understand when, where, and how the enemy has historically used their assets. A doctrinal template is a visual illustration of how the enemy force looks and acts without the effects of weather and terrain, and should be provided in the company op board or made available from the battalion/squadron S2. This type of understanding is the starting point for the leader's enemy analysis. The enemy may not fight using any form of structured or published doctrine. In such a situation, platoon leaders rely upon the assessments that are made by the battalion/squadron S2 and passed down through the company commander. Platoon leaders also rely on personal tactical skills and experience. Composition. Platoon leaders determine the types of vehicles, soldiers, and equipment the enemy could use against the platoon. They should be familiar with the basic characteristics of the enemy units and platforms identified. Disposition. From the battalion/squadron S2 and company commander's input, platoon leaders determine how the enemy is or might be arrayed, the echelon from where the enemy originated, and the disposition of the next two higher enemy elements. Previous terrain analysis also helps illuminate where the enemy may or may not be able to go based upon the number and types of vehicles in their formation. Strength. The strength of the enemy element in the platoon's AO can be made available by way of requests for information made through the company commander to the battalion/squadron S2. Capabilities. The platoon leader must know what weapon systems the enemy possesses. Knowing the maximum effective ranges of the enemy systems, the platoon leader can better determine when to transition to tactical movement or when to initiate contact within the defense. Recent activities. Through the company commander, platoon leaders can request any recent enemy activities in the platoon's or company's AO from the battalion/squadron S2. Knowing what the enemy has done in the past can be an indicator as to what is to come in the future. Enemy situation template. The situation template is a refined version of the doctrinal template. Taking into account the effects of terrain, weather, and all previous enemy analysis considerations up to this point. The platoon leader may receive a detailed situation template from the company commander, either by an analog map overlay or digital joint capabilities release graphic. The information in the template informs the platoon leader on possible or likely enemy courses of action. This situation template is portrayed one echelon lower than the one developed by the next higher HQ. For example, if the company commander determines the enemy is operating in the company area of operations, the platoon leader determines if enemy activity affects the assigned platoon or subordinate element's sustainment mission. The situation template is a briefing tool for the platoon leader and is only an estimate of the enemy disposition and must be changed when new information adjusts previous assumptions. Note, many current allies possess and operate equipment similar or almost identical to that of current threat militaries. All platoon members need to possess a robust knowledge of vehicle identification, capable of identifying allied and enemy vehicles from multiple angles at varying distances and in limited visibility conditions. Information requirements. Commander's critical information requirements consist of priority intelligence requirements and friendly force information requirements. This translates to the platoon as items that must be reported to the company and battalion, BN. Priority intelligence requirements are information a leader, in this case the company or battalion/squadron commander, needs to know about terrain or enemy to make a critical decision. They are clear, answerable, focused on a single question, and necessary to drive an operational decision. Friendly force information requirements include information leaders need to know about their units or about adjacent units to make critical decisions. The platoon leader may be tasked either directly or indirectly to answer one or more of the company or battalion/squadron commander's information requirements, and must ensure all personnel in the platoon know what to look for or report changes to friendly capabilities. Essential elements of friendly information are not commander's critical information requirements, but are critical aspects of a friendly operation that, if known by the enemy, would compromise or lead to failure of the operation. Consequently, this information must be protected from identification by the enemy. For example, the location of the company command post or company trains. Terrain. Analysis of terrain answers the question, what is the terrain's effect on the mission? Platoon leaders consider the effects of man-made and natural terrain in conjunction with the weather on friendly and enemy operations. Terrain can be categorized into three separate categories. Unrestricted. Terrain free of restrictions to movement. No actions are needed to enhance mobility. For the logistics platoon, unrestricted terrain typically is flat or moderately sloped, with scattered or widely spaced obstacles such as trees or rocks. Restricted. Terrain hindering movement somewhat. Little effort is needed to enhance mobility, but units might have to adjust speed and formations or make frequent detours. For the platoon, restricted terrain typically means moderate to steep slopes or moderate to dense spacing of obstacles such as trees, rocks, or urban. Swamps and rugged ground are two examples of restricted terrain for armored forces. Severely restricted. Terrain which severely hinders or slows movement in combat formations unless some effort is made to enhance mobility. Engineer forces might be needed to improve mobility, or the platoon might have to deviate from doctrinal tactics. Steep slopes, densely spaced obstacles, urban, and an absence of a developed road system characterize severely restricted terrain. Terrain analysis should produce several specific conclusions for the platoon leader. Potential battle, support by fire, and attack by fire positions. Possible engagement areas, EAs, and ambush sites. Asset locations, such as enemy command posts or ammunition caches. Template of enemy forces and essential weapon systems. Likely avenues of approach. Observation post locations. Potential breach locations. Areas which increase the range of communications systems. Positioning of own assets. Understanding of time and space relationships of events, leading to thorough contingency plans. Identifying possible enemy indirect firing points. Selecting of movement techniques and formations, including when to transition from movement to tactical maneuver. Limited planning time may force platoon leaders to prioritize their terrain analysis. For example, for a distribution mission, the platoon leader might prioritize the terrain along the distribution route. From the modified combined obstacle overlay developed by the battalion/squadron S2, platoon leaders gain an appreciation of the general nature of the ground and effects of weather. They must go beyond passing along the modified combined obstacle overlay to their squad/section leaders or making general observations of the terrain such as, this is high ground or this is a stream. They must conduct their own analysis and determine how the terrain and weather uniquely affects the enemy and their platoon. In general, terrain and weather do not favor one side over the other unless one is better prepared to operate in the environment or is more familiar with it. The terrain, however, may favor defending or attacking. Platoon leaders analyze terrain using the categories of observation and fields of fire, avenues of approach, key terrain, obstacles, and cover and concealment, often referred to as OACOC, or in a different order as key terrain, observation and fields of fire, cover and concealment, obstacles, and avenues of approach, often referred to as COCOA. Other aspects of terrain. The platoon leader analyzes the other aspects of terrain to determine the effects of each aspect of terrain on friendly and enemy forces. Obstacles. Platoon leaders identify existing, natural or man-made, and reinforcing tactical or protective obstacles limiting mobility in the AO. Existing obstacles. Natural obstacles include rivers, mountains, ravines, gaps and ditches more than 3 meters wide, tree stumps and large rocks more than 18 inches high, forests with trees 8 inches or more in diameter with less than 4 meters between trees. Man-made obstacles include urban areas, canals, railroad embankments, buildings, power lines, or telephone lines. Reinforcing obstacles. Tactical. Inhibit the ability of the opposing force to move, mass, and reinforce. Examples include minefields, conventional and situational, AT ditches, or wire obstacles. Protective. Offer close-in protection and are important to survivability. Offensive considerations when analyzing obstacles and restricted terrain include: how is the enemy using obstacles and restricted terrain features? What is the composition of the enemy's reinforcing obstacles? How will obstacles and terrain affect the movement or maneuver of the unit? If necessary, can such features be avoided or reduced? How does the platoon detect and, if desired, bypass the obstacles? Where has the enemy positioned weapons to cover the obstacles and what type of weapons are they using? If the platoon must support a breach, where is the expected breach site and where will the enemy overwatch the obstacle? Defensive considerations when analyzing obstacles and restricted terrain include: where does the enemy want to go? Where can the platoon kill the enemy? How does the platoon get the enemy to go there? How will existing obstacles and restricted terrain affect the enemy? How can the platoon use these features to force the enemy into its engagement area, deny the enemy an avenue, or disrupt the enemy's movement? Avenues of approach. An avenue of approach is a path used by an attacking force leading to its objective or to key terrain. Avenues of approach exist in all domains. Avenues of approach are classified by type, mounted, dismounted, or air, formation, and speed of the largest unit traveling on it. If not already identified by the company commander or battalion/squadron staff, the platoon leader may group mutually supporting mobility corridors to form an avenue of approach. Mobility corridors are classed based on the distance between the terrain features that form the corridor, though their ranges are not absolute, but reflect the relative and approximate distance between terrain features. Considerations the leader can include in an evaluation of avenues of approach are: how can the platoon use each avenue of approach to support movement and maneuver to the logistics release point? How will each avenue support movement techniques, formations, and, once the platoon makes enemy contact, maneuver? Will variations in traffic ability force changes in formations or movement techniques or require clearance of restricted terrain? What are the advantages and disadvantages of each avenue? What are the enemy's likely counterattack routes? What lateral routes could the platoon use, and which could the enemy use to threaten the platoon's flanks? How will each avenue of approach affect the rate of movement? Other considerations the leader can include in an evaluation of avenues of approach are: what are all likely enemy avenues into my AO? How can the enemy use each avenue of approach? What lateral routes could the enemy use to threaten the convoy? What avenues would support a friendly counterattack or repositioning of forces? Observation and fields of fire. Platoon leaders identify locations along each movement route, providing clear observation and fields of fire for the attacker and defender. They analyze the area surrounding key terrain, objectives, EAs, and obstacles. Locate intervisibility lines, ridges, or horizons which can hide equipment or personnel from observation. They assess the ability of the attacking force to overwatch or support movement with direct fire. When analyzing fields of fire, platoon leaders consider the friendly and enemy potential to cover supply routes and key terrain, in particular with direct fires. Offensive considerations when analyzing observation and fields of fire include: where can the enemy concentrate fires? Where will the enemy be unable to concentrate fires? Where can friendly forces conduct support by fire or retrograde by fire? Where are the natural target registration points? Defensive considerations in analyzing observation and fields of fire include: what locations have clear observation and fields of fire along enemy avenues of approach? Where will the platoon be unable to mass fires? Where is the dead space in the AO? Where is the platoon vulnerable? Where can the platoon destroy the enemy? Can the platoon observe and fire on the enemy with at least 2/3 of the platoon's personnel? How obvious are these positions to the enemy? Cover and concealment. All leaders in the platoon look at the terrain, foliage, structures, and other features along avenues of approach and on objectives or key terrain to identify sites offering cover and concealment. Cover is protection from the effects of fires, whereas concealment is protection from observation or surveillance. In the defense, positions must be lethal to the enemy and survivable to the platoon. Concealment, more specifically camouflage, is critical when the possibility of enemy aviation or unmanned aerial systems may be present in the AO. Preventing the enemy from identifying the composition or disposition of the platoon prevents the likelihood of being targeted by enemy direct or indirect fires. Military aspects of weather. The military aspects of weather are visibility, winds, precipitation, cloud cover / ceiling, temperature and humidity, atmospheric pressure as required. Platoon leaders determine how the weather will affect the visibility, mobility, and survivability of the platoon and that of the enemy, reviewing the company commander's conclusions and identifying their own. Visibility. Platoon leaders identify critical conclusions about visibility factors, such as light data, fog, smog, smoke, and dust. They consider light data and identify critical conclusions about begin morning nautical twilight, sunrise, sunset, end of evening nautical twilight, moonrise, moonset, and percentage of illumination. Some additional visibility considerations include: will the sun rise behind the platoon or in the platoon's eyes? Will the platoon attack toward the sunrise? How can the platoon take advantage of the limited illumination? When are night vision devices most effective or ineffective? Are certain parts of the platoon AO prone to fog at particular times of the day or times of the year? Winds. Winds of sufficient speed can reduce the combat effectiveness of a force downwind as the result of blowing dust, obscurance, sand, or precipitation. The upwind force usually has better visibility. Chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear operations usually favor the upwind force. Wind-blown sand, dust, rain, or snow can reduce the effectiveness of radar and other communication systems. Wind is described as from to, as in, winds are from the east moving to the west. The leader must answer these questions. Will wind speed cause obscurance to dissipate quickly? Will wind speed and direction favor enemy use of obscurance? Will wind speed and direction affect the employment of available mortars? What is the potential for chemical, biological, radiation, and nuclear contamination? Will wind speed affect the ballistics of organic platoon weapon systems? The smell of petroleum products used by the platoon can carry in heavy winds, revealing the general location of a concealed or camouflaged position. Depending on the direction, heavy winds can either mask the sound of a truck engine or cause the sound to carry considerable distances. All leaders in the sustainment platoon must consider how their individual vehicle will benefit from or be hindered by the wind. Precipitation. Precipitation includes rain, sleet, snow, and hail. Precipitation affects soil trafficability, visibility, and optical systems. Heavy precipitation can reduce the quality of supplies and storage. Heavy snow cover can reduce the efficiency of many communication systems. Some precipitation questions to answer include: how will precipitation or lack of it affect the mobility of the unit or of enemy forces? Are there particular locations in the AO that the platoon should avoid during times of increased precipitation, either due to flooding or extremely loose soil? Are there particular portions of the route that may be susceptible to freezing or black ice due to precipitation? How will cloud cover affect helicopter and close air support? Temperature and humidity. Extreme shifts in temperature and humidity reduce personnel and equipment capabilities and may require the use of special shelter or equipment. The leader identifies critical factors about temperature, including high and low temperatures and effects of obscurance. Some considerations include: how will temperature and humidity affect the crew and equipment? Will temperatures and humidity favor the use of non-persistent chemical, biological, radiation, and nuclear? Will thermal sites be as effective given the time of day? When is thermal crossover? How will battery life in handheld devices such as radios and optics be affected by extreme heat or extreme cold? Troops and support available. Platoon leaders realistically and objectively study their platoon to determine the number, type, capabilities, and condition of available friendly troops and other available support. Analysis of troops and support answers the question: what assets are available to accomplish the mission and what is the combat potential of the unit? The platoon leader as well as the platoon sergeant look to answer these types of questions. What are the strengths and weaknesses of subordinate leaders? What is the supply status of Class 1, 3, 5, and other necessary items? What is the present physical condition of the platoon? Health, morale, sleep. What is the condition of assigned platoon equipment? What is the unit's training status and experience relative to the mission? What additional personnel or units will accompany? What additional assets are required to accomplish the mission? What is the condition of attached units or those in direct support? What type of indirect fire by type is available and when will it become available? The platoon leader cannot be expected to think of every aspect of the platoon to analyze, and so asks for help when the situation exceeds the platoon's capabilities. Assistance can come from either within or external to the company. Time available. Platoon leaders see their platoon in time and space. As events occur, the platoon leaders adjust the time available to the platoon and assess its impact on what they want to accomplish. Understanding how long it takes to execute a task determines where in space the platoon is upon completion of that task. Therefore, considerations should include overall time available, priorities of work to be accomplished, including security, maintenance, resupply, coordination, rehearsals, inspections, and sleep. Planning and preparation. Times specified by the commander in the op board for such activities as movement, reconnaissance, rehearsals, and logistics package, log pack operations. Company and battalion/squadron timeline. Enemy timeline. Platoon leaders conduct reverse planning to ensure that all specified, implied, and essential tasks can be accomplished in the time available. They develop a reverse planning schedule timeline, beginning with actions on the objective and working backward through each step of the operation and preparation to the present time. Civil considerations. Civil considerations are the influence of man-made infrastructure, civilian institutions, and attitudes and activities of civilian leaders, populations, and organizations within an area of operations on the conduct of military operations, ADP 50. Civil considerations of the environment can either help or hinder friendly or enemy forces. The difference lies in taking the time to learn the situation and its possible effects on the operation. Examples of civil considerations are a market day in town or a pilgrimage taking place. Analysis of civil considerations answers three critical questions. How do civilian considerations affect the operation? How does the operation affect the civilians? How do our forces build national will in our AO? Battalion/squadron provides the company and platoon with civil considerations affecting the brigade's mission. The memory aid the battalion/squadron may use to analyze and describe these civil considerations include areas, structures, capabilities, organizations, people, and events, also called A-scope. Refer to ATP 2-01.3 for more information. Risk assessment. Risk assessment is the identification and assessment of hazards, first two steps of the risk management process, JP 3-26. Leaders at all levels manage risk to protect the force and aid in mission accomplishment, and so the platoon leader identifies risks based on the results of their mission analysis. Risk assessment is a continual process undertaken by the platoon leader and platoon sergeant throughout the duration of the mission. Once identified, risk is mitigated or eliminated through the use of controls. The commander will establish overall risk tolerance level for the mission. Platoon leaders determine in their plan how to reduce risk to an acceptable level. For example, fratricide may be mitigated by taking into consideration surface danger zones and risk estimate distances, resulting in the emplacement of target reference points and phase lines used to control movement and thus reduce this risk. Develop the plan at the platoon level. The platoon leader generally receives a directed COA action from the company commander. As a result, the platoon leader has only to determine how to accomplish the platoon's assigned task while meeting the commander's intent. The platoon leader begins to develop a plan that must accomplish the given task, suitable, is executable given the skills, time, and resources on hand, feasible. The military advantage gained justifies the expected cost, acceptable. Differs sufficiently from other approaches, if required, considered to achieve the given task, distinguishable. Fully addresses the who, what, where, when, and how from start to finish, complete. Platoon leaders may be able to accomplish the given task and purpose in more than one way. They consider TTP from doctrine, company, or battalion SOPs, history, or other resources to determine if a solution to a similar tactical or logistical problem exists already. Platoon leaders determine what combinations of personnel and systems are needed to accomplish the assigned task. This is known as assigning troops to task and is based on the MET-TC conditions the leader faces, such as having an attachment of engineers or other enabler. Platoon leaders identify the best ways to use the available terrain and employ the platoon's strengths against the enemy's weaknesses. They develop the control measures necessary to execute the mission, prevent fratricide, and clarify the task and purpose. Platoon leaders ensure every vehicle in the platoon is fully employed, every asset is attached, and adequate control is provided for each element. Platoon leaders solidify the plan by notionally fighting it against how they believe the enemy will operate. Asking the question, "what if," throughout the process can help identify points of friction not previously considered up to that point. This process may be done solely by platoon leaders who review the plan up to that point, or by including the platoon sergeants and other squad/section leaders' input as well. This enables the platoon leader to determine how to maximize the effects of the platoon while protecting the platoon and minimizing collateral damage. To anticipate events in the AO. To determine conditions and any additional resources required for success. To identify additional control requirements. To identify friendly coordination requirements. To appreciate the time, space, and triggers needed to integrate direct and, if available, indirect fire support. Develop control measures to aid in control, flexibility, and synchronization. Project sustainment expenditures, friendly casualties, and resulting medical requirements. Complete paragraphs 3, 4, and 5 of the op board. Considerations in choosing a course of action. If a predetermined COA is not the best option, the platoon leader analyzes the commander's intent. In most cases, the commander identifies the criteria for a successful sustainment operation. These include the effect the sustainment has on the supported maneuver unit specifically and the effect it has on the overall mission of the supported unit. Based on the commander's intent in these criteria, the platoon may develop a new COA. Refinements to the original plan or development of a new COA may change the sustainment concept. Execute the selected course of action. When executing the selected COA, the platoon begins movement to the decisive point of the operation. In all but the most intense enemy engagements, the platoon continues to advance while in contact to reach the decisive point on the battlefield from which it executes its sustainment task. Step 4. Initiate movement. Platoon leaders initiate movements necessary to continue mission preparation or to posture the unit for starting the mission. This step can be executed any time throughout the sequence of TLP. It can include execution of priorities of work, movement to an assembly area, release point or new AO, or the movement of guides or quartering parties. Step 5. Conduct reconnaissance. To exploit the principles of speed and surprise, platoon leaders should weigh the advantages of reconnoitering personally against only using a map or product from a higher HQ. When possible, platoon leaders and subordinates in the platoon should conduct their own visual reconnaissance of as much of the objective area as possible, time and safety permitting. Nothing replaces walking the ground upon which one will execute the operation. The leader's recon might include moving to the supported unit area or to the logistics release point. The reconnaissance might be moving to another source of supply where supply transfer is to occur. The leader must include disseminating results and conclusions arrived from reconnaissance into their timeline. The platoon leader also considers how to communicate changes, if any, in the initial plan to subordinates, whether it be face-to-face, over the radio, or through a digital update. Platoon leaders take into consideration that the mere act of conducting a leader's reconnaissance may alert the enemy of the platoon's intention and potentially eliminate the element of surprise. Step 6. Complete the plan. Platoon leaders refine their plan, preparing analog and digital overlays, complete sustainment requirements, and update the tentative plan based on the latest reconnaissance. The platoon leaders prepare briefing sites and other briefing materials they might need to present the op board directly to their platoon. Based upon platoon SOP and in an effort to maximize use of time, other members of the platoon may prepare graphics, overlays, briefing sites, or briefing materials. Using the 5-paragraph op board format helps platoon leaders to explain all aspects of the operation: terrain, enemy, higher and adjacent friendly units, unit mission, execution, support, and mission command. The format serves as a checklist to ensure they cover all relevant details of the operation. Ultimately, the plan should be kept as simple as possible while at the same time ensuring the platoon plan supports the company commander's intent. Step 7. Issue operation order. The op board precisely and concisely explains the platoon leader's concept of how the platoon accomplishes the mission. Time and security permitting, the platoon leader issues the order from a vantage point overlooking the terrain on which the platoon will move to as many members of the platoon as possible. The op board is delivered quickly, with confidence, and in a manner allowing subordinates to concentrate on understanding the platoon leader's vision, not just copying what is said verbatim. The platoon leader uses a terrain model, sand table, sketches, or the map to orient the platoon. They can also build a model of the AO using a briefing kit that contains such items as engineer tape, colored yarn, 3x5-inch index cards, and micro-vehicle models. Whenever possible, platoon leaders issue the order in person. They look into the eyes of their subordinate leaders to ensure each one understands the mission and what the platoon must achieve. If platoon leaders already addressed an item adequately in a previous WarNord, they simply state no change or provide necessary updates. Ultimately, the platoon leader is free to brief the op board in the most effective manner to convey information to subordinates. Whether over the radio, through the available digital mission command platform, or on a sand table, terrain model, or map, platoon leaders complete the order with a confirmation brief. At a minimum, squad/section leaders should be able to backbrief the platoon's mission and intent, the company commander's intent, their own tasks and purpose, and time they will inform their squad or section of the mission details if they were not present at the op board brief itself. This confirmation brief provides an opportunity to highlight issues or concerns. Step 8. Supervise and refine. This final step of TLP is crucial. After issuing the op board, platoon leaders and vehicle commanders must ensure the required activities and tasks are completed quickly before mission execution. Supervision is the primary responsibility of all leadership. Platoon leaders and vehicle commanders must check those items or events deemed important for mission accomplishment. This includes, but is not limited to, conducting back briefs on all aspects of the platoon mission, ensuring the second in command in each element is prepared to execute in that leader's absence, observing rehearsals, inspecting load plans to ensure crews are carrying what is necessary for the mission or what the op board specified, inspecting the status and serviceability of weapons and communication systems, inspecting maintenance activities, ensuring local security is maintained. Section 3. Rehearsals. Rehearsals are practice sessions conducted to prepare units for an upcoming operation or event and the most valuable tool in preparing the platoon for the upcoming operation. Effective rehearsals require crews to perform required tasks, ideally under conditions that are as close as possible to those expected for the actual operation. Participants move their actual vehicles or use vehicle models or simulations while interactively verbalizing their element's actions. In a platoon-level rehearsal, platoon leaders select the tasks to be rehearsed and controls execution of the rehearsal. They may designate a subordinate vehicle commander to role-play the enemy they anticipate to face during the operation. Note, a rehearsal is different from the process of talking through the plan. For an example, in a rehearsal, squad/sections leaders send a complete spot report when reporting enemy contact rather than simply saying, "I would send a spot report now." Rehearsal purposes. Platoon leaders use well-planned, efficiently run rehearsals to accomplish the following purposes. Reinforce training and increase proficiency in critical tasks. Reveal weaknesses or problems in the plan. Synchronize the actions of the squads/sections. Confirm coordination requirements between the platoon and adjacent units. Improve each crew member's understanding of the concept of the operation, the direct and indirect fire plan, anticipated contingencies, and possible actions and reactions for various situations that may arise during the operation. Rehearsal types. The platoon leader can choose among several types of rehearsals, which include back brief, combined arms rehearsal, support rehearsal, battle drill or SOP rehearsal. Back brief. A back brief is a briefing by the vehicle commanders to the platoon leader to review how each intend to accomplish their portions of the mission. Normally, subordinates perform back briefs throughout preparation. These briefs allow platoon leaders to clarify the mission early in subordinate planning and use the back brief to identify any problems in the concept of the operation. In the sustainment platoon, the platoon leader conducts back briefs after the vehicle commanders have had a chance to review the op board but before the platoon rehearsal begins. Combined arms rehearsal. A combined arms rehearsal is a rehearsal in which subordinate units synchronize their plans with each other and is normally conducted at company level and above. If required to participate in a combined arms rehearsal, platoon leaders generally brief their task and purpose, composition, disposition, and key actions executed by phase, though the exact information briefed varies by unit SOP. Support rehearsal. The support rehearsal helps synchronize each warfighting function with the overall operation. Platoon leaders may take part in the support rehearsal depending upon their task and purpose and how it relates to the higher HQ operation. Battle drill or standard operating procedure rehearsal. A battle drill or SOP rehearsal ensures all participants understand a technique or a specific set of procedures. Throughout preparation, vehicle commanders and crews rehearse battle drills and SOPs. These rehearsals do not require a completed order from the company to execute. Platoon leaders place priority on those drills or actions they anticipate occurring during the operation. For example, convoy missions will almost always include react to ambush, react to breakdown, actions on objective, etc. Methods of rehearsals. Rehearsals should follow the crawl, walk, run methodology whenever possible. This prepares the platoon for increasingly difficult conditions. Refer to FM60 for more information. Security must be maintained, however, units can conduct these forms of rehearsals if mission variables permit. Full dress rehearsal, key leader rehearsal, terrain model rehearsal, digital terrain model rehearsal, sketch map rehearsal, map rehearsal. Full dress rehearsals. A full dress rehearsal includes every participating platoon member and system executed on terrain similar to the AO, initially under good light conditions and then in limited visibility. Any attachments to the platoon take part in this rehearsal, bringing with them any specific equipment they will require to execute the mission. Key leader rehearsal. This rehearsal involves only key leaders of the organization and subordinate units and normally takes fewer resources than a full dress rehearsal. Terrain requirements mirror those of a full dress rehearsal. A reduced force rehearsal can be used to prepare key leaders for a full dress rehearsal. Terrain model rehearsal. This technique employs an accurately constructed model to help subordinates visualize the battle. When possible, the platoon leader places the terrain model near or where it overlooks the actual terrain of the AO. The model should be large enough to depict graphic control measures and important terrain features for reference and orientation. Based on size, participants walk or move icons around the table or model, using complete radio transmission to practice the actions of their own vehicles in relation to other members of the platoon. One consideration is to conceal the terrain model from enemy air assets. Sketch map rehearsal. Sketch map procedures are similar to those for the terrain model rehearsal. The sketch must be large enough to allow all participants to see as each subordinate walks through an interactive oral presentation of their actions. Squads/sections can use symbols or micro-vehicles to represent their locations and movement on the sketch, and use complete radio transmissions when executing their movements. Map rehearsal. Procedures are similar to those for the sketch map rehearsal, except that the leader uses a map and operation overlay of the same scale as the platoon leader used to plan and control the operation. This technique is useful in conjunction with a confirmation brief or back brief involving subordinate leaders and vehicle commanders. Pre-combat checks and inspections. Pre-combat checks, PCCs, differ from pre-combat inspections, PCIs, in that they are quick combat checks performed at crew level and designed to account for individuals and equipment. PCCs do not require formal notification to conduct. However, PCCs are validated in the PCIs. They are designed to be quick and concise, verifying that the vehicle crews have all necessary equipment to accomplish the mission. Examples for PCCs include the following. Perform pre-fire checks for all weapons and report or repair deficiencies if necessary. Machine guns test fired if possible. Ammunition checked and stored properly. Upload vehicles per the platoon SOP. Account for crews' uniforms and equipment necessary to accomplish the tasks. Note: the standardization of load plans allows the platoon leader and platoon sergeant to quickly check accountability of equipment. It also ensures standard locations of equipment in each vehicle. This can be an important advantage if the platoon leader is forced to switch to a different vehicle during an operation. PCIs allow the platoon leader to check the platoon's operational readiness. The key goal is to ensure that crews and vehicles are fully prepared to execute the upcoming mission. The platoon leader includes the time and location for PCIs in the platoon op board, reinforcing their importance and ensuring they occur as part of the pre-mission preparation. It is essential that the entire platoon chain of command know how to conduct PCCs and PCIs per applicable SOPs. Examples of an inspection include the following. Perform before operation maintenance checks and report or repair deficiencies if necessary. Perform communications checks of voice and digital systems. Inspect and verify maps and corresponding analog and digital graphics. Ensure that crews understand the plan and are in the correct uniform and mission-oriented protection posture level based upon the threat level. Ammunition types as required by mission. Review the supply status of rations, water, fuel, oil, all types of ammunition, pyrotechnics, first aid kits, and batteries. For such items as flashlights, night vision devices, and chemical, biological, radiation, and nuclear alarms. Ensure that vehicles are correctly camouflaged so they match the AO. The platoon leader or platoon sergeant observes each crew during preparation for combat. They conduct the inspection once the vehicle commanders report that their crews and vehicles are prepared. It is understood that platoon leaders will check items they deem critical for the upcoming operations, but the vehicle commanders check all items based on the platoon SOP. Failure at the vehicle commander level to check all systems and not just the ones the platoon leader inspects personally could lead to a critical element or piece of equipment to fail during operations. Abbreviated troop leading procedures. When there is not enough time to conduct all 8 steps in detail, such as when a change of mission occurs after an operation is in progress, the platoon leader truncates the procedures to save time. Most steps of these abbreviated TLP are done mentally, but the platoon leader skips none of the steps. Once the order is received, the platoon leader conducts a quick map reconnaissance, analyzes the mission using the factors of METTC, and sends for the vehicle commanders. They ensure the vehicle commanders post the minimum required control measures on their maps and issues a fragord covering the key elements of the enemy and friendly situations, the platoon mission, and the concept of the operation. The sustainment and command and signal paragraphs can be deleted if they are unchanged or covered by SOP. The platoon leader and vehicle commanders may also conduct a quick walkthrough rehearsal of critical elements of the plan using a hastily prepared terrain model or sand table. In some cases, there may not be enough time even for these shortened procedures. The platoon may have to move out and receive fragords by radio or at the next scheduled halt. It then becomes critical for the platoon leader to send fragords of the platoon leader's vehicle commanders explaining the platoon's purpose within the overall company plan. Digital systems are valuable tools when the platoon is forced to use abbreviated TLP and fragords. They allow the platoon leader to designate waypoints to help in navigation and target reference points to help in weapons orientation while en route to the objective. Other keys to success when abbreviated procedures are in effect include a well-trained platoon, clearly developed, thoroughly understood SOPs, and an understanding by all members of the platoon of the current tactical situation. The platoon leader and platoon sergeant keep the platoon informed of the ever-changing enemy and friendly situations. They accomplish this by monitoring the company net and issuing frequent updates to the other crews using the radio and mission command systems. Section 4, Command and Support Relationships. Command and support relationships provide the basis for unity of command and unity of effort in operations. Command and support relationships are the basis for task organizing. A task organization is a temporary grouping of forces designed to accomplish a particular mission. Refer to FM60 for more information. Non-organic combat and sustainment assets can significantly enhance the platoon's combat capability. These elements support the company team and platoon under established command and support relationships. Command relationships. The command relationships define superior and subordinate relationships between unit commanders. The platoon is under command of the company commander. However, within the platoon, command relationships exist between the platoon leader, platoon sergeant, and the vehicle commanders. Command relationships unify effort and give the platoon leader the ability to employ the platoon with maximum flexibility. Command relationships include organic, assigned, attached, operational control, tactical control. Organic. Organic forces are those assigned to and forming an essential part of a military organization as listed in its table of organization and equipment. Army commanders exercise OpCon and administrative control, ADCON, of organic forces. Assigned. Assign is to place units or personnel in an organization where such placement is relatively permanent and/or where such organization controls and administers the units or personnel for the primary function or a greater portion of the functions of the unit or personnel. Army-assigned units remain subordinate to the higher echelon headquarters for extended periods, typically years. Assignment is based on the needs of the Army, and it is formalized by orders rather than organizational documents. Although force tailoring or task organizing may temporarily detach units, they eventually return to either their headquarters of assignment or their organic headquarters. Army commanders exercise OpCon and ADCON of assigned forces. Attached. Attach is the placement of units or personnel in an organization where such placement is relatively temporary. When an Army force is attached to another Army headquarters, the attachment order specifies the command relationship of OpCon or tactical control, also called TACON. The gaining units exercise ADCON of the attached Army force unless the command relationship is modified operational control. Operational control is the authority to perform those functions of command over subordinate forces involving organizing and employing commands and forces, assigning tasks, designating objectives, and giving authoritative direction necessary to accomplish the mission. OpCon includes authoritative direction over all aspects of military operations necessary to accomplish missions assigned to the command. This authority should be exercised through the commanders of subordinate organizations. OpCon provides full authority to organize commands and forces and to employ those forces as the commander exercising OpCon considers necessary to accomplish assigned missions. Tactical control. Tactical control is the authority over forces that is limited to the detailed direction and control of movements or maneuvers within the operational area necessary to accomplish missions or tasks assigned. Tactical control is a command authority inherent in OpCon and may be delegated to and exercised by commanders at any echelon at or below the level of combatant command. Tactical control provides sufficient authority for controlling and directing the application of force or tactical use of support assets within the assigned mission or task. Army support relationships. Army support relationships are direct support, general support, GS, reinforcing, and GS reinforcing. Army support relationships are not command authorities and are more specific than joint support relationships. Insight. Area support. Area support is not a support relationship. It is a task given to sustainment units that directs them to support units transiting or operating within a specified geographic boundary and for which a support relationship has not been established. This is normally for units that are in immediate need of support and are not near their organic or designated supporting unit. Area support is not synonymous with general support. It is a viable and necessary support consideration given the limitations of existing sustainment force structure. Commanders must anticipate the need to provide area support and must also anticipate the increased demand for commodities. However, utilizing the area support task does not absolve commanders of the responsibility to do mission analysis, task organize, and designate support relationships for subordinate units. Commanders cannot simply direct subordinate units to provide area support to any and all units in an area of operations. If this occurs, supporting units are unable to forecast requirements and are constantly in a reaction mode. This, in turn, leads to ineffective sustainment support. In order for unit commanders to be able to plan and develop viable support concepts, commanders must know the type and quantity of units supported and for how long. The commander's higher headquarters provides this information by task organizing subordinate units and designating clear support relationships between each subordinate unit and supported units. This information is communicated via an op-board. Direct support is a support relationship requiring a force to support another specific force and authorizing it to answer directly to the supported force's request for assistance. Joint doctrine considers direct support as a mission rather than a support relationship. A unit assigned a direct support relationship retains its command relationship with its parent unit but is positioned by and has priorities of support established by the supported unit. Direct support is a support relationship requiring a force to support another specific force and authorizing it to answer directly to the supported force's request for assistance. A logistics platoon assigned a direct support relationship retains its command relationship with its parent company, but is positioned by and has priorities of support established by the supported unit. The logistics platoon leader of a unit in direct support recommends position areas and coordinates for movement clearances where the platoon can best support the maneuver commander's concept of the operation. Reinforcing support is a support relationship requiring a force to support another supporting unit. Only like units, for example, supply reinforcing supply, can be given a reinforcing mission. A logistics platoon assigned a reinforcing support relationship retains its command relationship with its parent company, but is positioned by the reinforced unit. A logistics platoon that is reinforcing has priorities of support established by the reinforced unit first, and then by the parent company. General support reinforcing is a support relationship assigned to a unit to support the force as a whole and to reinforce another similar type unit. A logistics platoon assigned a GS reinforcing support relationship is positioned and has priorities established by its parent company and, secondly, by the reinforced unit. General support is that support which is given to the supported force as a whole and not to any particular subdivision thereof. Units assigned a general support relationship are positioned and have priorities established by their parent unit. Commanders establish support relationships when subordination of one unit to another is inappropriate. Assigning support relationships is one aspect of command and control. Commanders assign a support relationship when the echelon of the supporting unit is the same as or higher than that of the supported unit. For example, the supporting unit may be a brigade and the supported unit may be a battalion. It would be inappropriate for the brigade to be subordinated to the battalion. Hence, the echelon uses an army support relationship. The supporting unit supports several units simultaneously. The requirement to set support priorities to allocate resources to supported units exists. Units that have a command relationship with a unit are not designated a support relationship with the same unit. Since a command relationship is established, it provides adequate authority for the gaining unit to direct support efforts. Support relationships do not alter ADCON. Army support relationships allow supporting commanders to employ their units' capabilities to achieve results required by supported commanders. Supporting commanding officers clearly designate support relationships to subordinate units in op boards. The designation must identify the supported unit, the specific support relationship designated, and the duration of the relationship. The duration may be based on time, duration of a phase, or based on achieving an objective. This information is included in the task organization paragraph of the op board. Supported commanders must also identify supporting units to subordinates in the same paragraph. Commanders may place this information in Annex A of the order. The support is more effective if a commander with the requisite technical and tactical expertise controls the supporting unit rather than the supported commander. Support relationships can be an exclusive relationship between two units, direct support, or a broad level of support extended to all units under the control of the higher headquarters, general support. While reinforcing and GS reinforcing relationships are not commonly used by sustainment units, these relationships are valid for sustainment units and may be designated based on support requirements. Although all support relationships are applicable to sustainment units, direct and GS are the most commonly used. Direct support requires a unit to support another specific unit and authorizes it to answer directly to the supported unit's request for assistance. A unit assigned a direct support relationship retains its command relationship with its parent unit, but is positioned by and has priorities of support established by the supported unit. The parent unit may end or redirect the direct support relationship at any time if directed to do so by its higher headquarters. GS requires a unit to support multiple units simultaneously and not to any specific subdivision of the unit. A unit assigned a GS relationship retains its command relationship with its parent unit and is positioned and has priorities established by the parent unit. The parent unit may end or redirect the GS relationship at any time if directed to do so by its higher headquarters.